today to have with us Talat Shabir, who's the Lieutenant Colonel in the Pakistan Army and has been with us as a physics scholar for a very short period of time, and it's quickly coming to an end. He's also a PhD student at Quadir Azir University in Islamabad. I think it's probably true that we have touched on China-Pakistan relations in various times and different events over the years, but it's almost always from the perspective of people coming at it from U.S. policy or sometimes coming from Chinese foreign policy. It's a very special event for us today to really have a Pakistan perspective on this relationship. So I'm very happy to see the turnout today. We've reached kind of full capacity for this event. So without further ado, I'll turn the talk over to you.
Thanks.
And I hope we'll have time for discussion afterwards. So we'll
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In next couple of minutes I shall try to explain Pakistan-China relations and before that I must thank Professor Meckert, Professor Deepa and all the staff at SIGA Center who have helped me to carry out my studies here at SIGA Center In next couple of minutes, I shall be describing about Pakistan-China relations, political, military, and economic terms that we have ties with we have with China. Various important developments and developments having impact on Pakistan-China relation. My research focus, since I'm doing PhD, so I have touched about what my work is going to be about, theoretical framework, various dimensions. And Pakistan-China bilateral or mutual focus. Then I'll be touching about global and regional context in which Pakistan-China relations are shaping. And something about Cold War, because my topic particularly addresses era after Cold War. And then I'll give my conclusions. Many scholars believe that nothing ever leaks from Chinese side, and I also agree, and China also keeps cards closer to chest. So most of the time when I speak about Pakistani perspective, and I'm trying to have a look on the card which is closer to Chinese chest in my talk. So just giving you brief history of political and diplomatic relations between Pakistan and China. Pakistan has 317 miles long common border with China, and both countries established diplomatic relations on May 21st, 1951. India, which is another very important regional state, developed territorial disputes with China, and that led to 1962 Sino-Indian War on territorial dispute. Now that war actually came in a manner that it, from then onward, Pakistan and China shared kind of common hostility towards India. On March 1960, after the war between Pakistan between Sino-India war, Pakistan ceded the Trans-Karakoram Tract to China, withdrawing its claim over more than 2,000 square miles of territory, ending a border dispute that Pakistan was having with China. And since then, both countries are having lasting ties that have critical economic and military fronts. Coming up to military cooperation, China has been a constant source of military equipment to Pakistani army, and it has helped Pakistan establish munition factories, provided technological assistance, and helped modernize existing defense-related facilities. China and Pakistan are involved in various projects to enhance military and weaponry systems, which includes like JFC-17 Thunder fighting aircraft, K-2 advanced training aircraft. These are the big projects that we are carrying out with China, Al Khalid main battle tank, and many small-scale ventures, defense-related ventures are being carried out. Economically, Pakistan, China are increasing at fast pace, particularly after a free trade agreement that has been signed between both the countries in 2006. In recent years, China has pledged to vastly increase its investment in Pakistan's economy and infrastructure. Among other things, China has been helping Pakistan to develop infrastructure through building power plants, roads, and communication networks. Currently, the trade between both the countries is at $12 billion, which both the countries have pledged to take to $15 billion by 2015. Now, there are three developments that that shape Pakistan-China relations, and those three developments are: the first is China's 1978 reforms and opening up, which was aimed at making considerable changes, which has definitely made considerable changes at China's foreign policy outlook. The second was disintegration of USSR that signified an end of Cold War, followed by expansion of US sphere of influence in South Asia. And third development which shaped Pakistan-China relations was 9/11, that confronted US with threat of new dimension and developed conflicting interests with China in South Asian region. Now, the research in my research focus, I have two perspectives. The first perspective is that Pakistan and China have a lofty kind of diplomatic rhetoric of having all-weather friendship. I think it is post-Cold War, it is overshadowed by national interests. Pakistan faces precarious balancing situation between siding with China on various issues of interest and finding ways to carry on with marriage of inconvenience with United States. China, despite economic and strategic constraints of keeping friendly ties with Pakistan, has to take into account that its disposition as a supporter of international order. In the post-Cold War period, inward-looking China is likely to follow policy position that shall not meet Pakistan's ideals, having profound impact on Pakistan-China relations. Now, the second perspective is, first perspective is that China is inward-looking and it is not meeting Pakistan's ideals. And second perspective is US presence in the region, its policy contrary to China's political and strategic interests, poses serious political, economic, and strategic consequences of Pakistan-China relations. In the post-9/11 scenario, United States has been collaborating with India with a view to pursue policy of containment of China and seeks significant Indian support in Afghanistan, leaving Pakistan with little choice, little influence in Afghanistan. In the event of these developments, Pakistan-China relations gain significance. US-India nexus works against Chinese regional supremacy and global aspirations, and undermines Pakistan's core interest, that is, influence in Afghanistan. So Pakistan is with an option to respond to challenge in order to safeguard its interests by positively complementing its ties with China. Now, since I'm student of international relations, so I also apply a theoretical framework how I look at this issue. I think Pakistan-China relations are explained currently both from a realist perspective and liberal perspective. When I say realist perspective, in my view, it's China's multilateral approach towards regional players. And when I talk of liberal perspective, I actually focus on Pakistan-China bilateral relations. Pakistan-China bilateral relations. I see Pakistan-China relations from standpoint of realist paradigm, where China, a revisionist state, is seeking to maximize power to have regional and global influence, and Pakistan is a smaller and friendly neighbor. China seeks to attain regional hegemony that offensive realists say is important to gain influence. Though China does not claim to have regional hegemonic designs, but its behavior shows it does. Pakistan-China relations are also viewed from balance of power perspective, where Pakistan can be referred to as an instrument to stability of balance of power system against China's South Asian rival, India. Balance of power cooperation in terms of Pakistan-China relations is referred to as external balancing, where political objectives are attained through forging alliances. But there are various scholars who think Pakistan-China relation is not a relation of alliance, it is just a partnership. When I talk of liberal perspective, bilateral relations between Pakistan and China are explained in terms of cooperation and interdependence. That are strands of liberal theoretical discourse. But I argue that even if China seeks to forge cooperation and interdependence with Pakistan, it is aimed to achieve realist objectives. So coming over to the dimensions of, I look at Pakistan-China relations from three dimensions. First is political dimension, which addresses India-China relation, India-US relations, India-Pakistan relations and the peace process that is going on, post-NATO Afghanistan, rising China and US stakes in the region. When I look at economic dimension of Pakistan-China relations, I look at from the perspective of Pakistan, which is having a bad economy, and we need cooperation in energy, infrastructure, and we want some boost up in the trade. Strategic dimensions, conventional and unconventional cooperation between Pakistan and China, and India being a preoccupation are a factor for policymakers in Islamabad and Beijing. Now when I say Pakistan and China have bilateral or mutual focus, so they have actually and particularly from Pakistan's point of view, India has mutual or bilateral focus. For instance, Mr. Hussain Haqqani, former Pakistani ambassador to US, says, for China, Pakistan is a low-cost secondary deterrent to India. And for Pakistan, China is high-value guarantor of security against India. Similarly, Kerry Dumba suggested the same kind of argument. He said, mutual Pakistan-China relations focus on mutual strategic concerns about India, combating terrorism, assuring domestic stability, and strong military-to-military relation between Pakistan and China. Now, when we see China's international outlook, we see China does not want to complicate its relations with US, India, Afghanistan, and Central Asian republics. China wishes to enhance its reputation as responsible and cooperative international player. China wants to improve bilateral relations with major powers of the world in order to reduce a kind of unity against its rise. And China officially asserts that it will never be hegemon, never practice power politics, never poses a threat to neighbors and world peace. From regional perspective, China wants to improve relations with regional powers, including India, because it's carrying out trade with India and other cooperations they are carrying out. Considers Pakistan to be a geostrategic value. Wants to have cheaper commercial access to Indian Ocean. Wants to work with India's neighbors. That is viewed as policy of hedge against New Delhi. And in this cooperation, Pakistan still remains a central to this strategy. Whereas Pakistan also thinks China's rebalancing in South Asia is based on energy concerns that it has, economic imperatives in Pakistan, and bilateral cooperation to contain Islamic insurgencies that India suspects are going to trigger in Western China if Pakistan's cooperation is not sought. Now there are when I say we see actions, so there's a Cold War view about China, Pakistan-China relations. During the Cold War, China sold arms to Pakistan but never guaranteed its security. China provides support but not protection. In 1965 and 71 India-Pakistan War, China condemned Indian aggression and funneled military and economic aid to Pakistan, but watched Pakistan being torn apart. Pakistan-China relation has never been an alliance. But rather a partnership in which China does the minimum necessary to preserve Pakistani security from a distance and seeks to avoid all overt entanglements. There are two developments that actually helped China reduce its interest in Pakistan, and those developments are Soviet Union, collapse of Soviet Union, and China's gaining of national power relative to India. So when Soviet Union collapsed, China was comfortable with the new scenario, and when it after 1978 reforms and opening up paid back, so it actually developed its power greater than India, so it also becomes comfortable with the new scenario. And currently, speaking from Indian perspective, China gross domestic product is nearly four times, and military budget is over three times as big as India. And according to Ashley Tellis, China does not have to take special measures to counter India's efforts at developing minimum deterrent. So therefore, China does not need Pakistan as it did in past. Now, discussing Pakistan-China relations, various political dimensions, Daniel Marquez, a senior fellow at Council for Foreign Relations, says Pakistan's hostility towards India and Washington's courtship of New Delhi and competition between US and China has actually gave rise to two blocks in South Asia. One bloc is India-US and the other bloc is Pakistan-China. Besides that, there are various regional and international perspective of all countries playing there. For instance, India's involvement in Afghanistan is contrary to Pakistan's core interests. Pakistan and China suspect India carrying out military, political, intelligence activities under the cover of economic development. Pakistan looks for an opportunity to align its policy with China to counterbalance Indian influence in Afghanistan. Pakistan and China want to have joint strategy for ensuring a stable and viable Afghanistan after the departure of foreign forces. At the moment, China is not ready to annoy US. China wants to forge good relations with India despite various irritants. China would not allow that its support for Pakistan to negatively affect its relations with Washington or New Delhi. In this situation, Pakistan has a difficult task to remain politically relevant. Now, I just wanted to discuss two cases of political nature. One is Xinjiang and the other is Kashmir, because Xinjiang is a sensitivity to China and Kashmir is a sensitivity to Pakistan. Xinjiang, which is 1/6 of land mass of China, having plenty of natural resources, is facing Uyghur uprising or East Turkestan Islamic movement. So there are viewpoints, China and Pakistan viewpoint about this Uyghur uprising or Xinjiang problem. China suspects Pakistan and Afghanistan having a support base for Uyghurs or ETIM, as various incidents have happened, and they actually suspect on basing on those incidents. One is trade in heroin and weapons was suspected in Western Xinjiang, and there was some Afghani involvement in that. And there was another incident when 16 Pakistani trained Uyghurs were arrested in Xinjiang. But Pakistan's viewpoint is, Pakistan does not maintain friendly posture towards Uyghurs and does not support their cause. Pakistan has pressured madrasas. Previously, there used to be Uyghur students in Pakistani madrasas, but Pakistan has put a ban on madrasas not to have a Uyghur student in Pakistan. And it supports China's position against East Turkestan terrorist force. And there's a lot of cooperation going on between intelligence agencies of Pakistan and China against this Uyghur uprising and various places, suspected places in northern areas of Pakistan, where they think that some kind of insurgency might arise and a support base might get established. Now, Kashmir is a sensitivity of Pakistan. So what China has been doing about Kashmir? China was uncertain in 1950s, pro-Pakistan in 60s and 70s, and neutral since 1978. For instance, when I say it was uncertain in 1950s, China actually did not endorse Pakistan's position during 50s. And it was because India and China were having territorial disputes and there was some tension going on. So probably China never wanted to face an embarrassing situation when they might have to resort to a reversal on their position. So there was no endorsement on Kashmir issue from Chinese. From 1964 to 1980, China's position of Kashmir was exactly what Pakistan's position was. People of Kashmir, Chinese supported, they were entitled to right of self-determination. China also avoided conclusions about an independent state of Kashmir, which Pakistan also has the same kind of stance. And from 1978, reforms and opening up, and China's stance on Kashmir changed. And it was basically in order to address various objectives that China has to reduce tension with neighbors. Even though China also has territorial to India, but they have decided to carry on with maybe leaving those issues there and carry on with other cooperations. In 1980, Deng Xiaoping declared that Kashmir is a bilateral issue to be resolved between India and Pakistan. And in 1990s, China's mention of UN resolutions, which Pakistan always stresses to make mention of UN resolutions, China actually became careful in making mention of UN resolutions. Now, there are problems when Kashmir issue is there or it's resolved. There are two elements of China's policy on Kashmir settlement. One is, if Kashmir is acceded to India, Hunza and Gilgit, which are the northern districts of Pakistan and only land route inside Pakistan, they go to India. So Pakistan-China will cease to have a border. So that is a point in resolution of Kashmir issue. And the other very interesting argument is, if Kashmir issue is settled, it would improve relations between India and Pakistan, and it will deny a leverage to China that it enjoyed since 1950. So over Kashmir problem, India and Pakistan had number of frictions and wars. So during all those wars, China has been quietly observing the situation. Coming over to economic, since Pakistan is a country having many economic problems at the moment, so Pakistan looked to China for economic bailout. So it's obvious China, improved a lot after 1978, opening up reform policies. Like in 2008, China was second largest exporter, third largest importer, and it ranked third after US and Germany in trade volume. And since it joined WTO in 2001, its dependence on foreign trade increased from less than 40% to 70%. And similarly, in 2011, China's GDP stood at 7.5 trillion. So China is a big economy, and Pakistan has obviously economic stakes with China. China's trade with top 10 partners amounts to $2,000 billion. And Pakistan does not fall in top 10 trading partners because Pakistan is a small economy. India is one of the 10 big trader partners with China. Pakistan is not, because Pakistan is a small country and India is a big economy, big country. Bilateral trade volume between Pakistan and China is likely to be 15 billion in 2015. Now, various other economic ventures that China and Pakistan are carrying it together is, one is Gwadar and the other is Sandik project, in which China has invested 230 million, which is 50% of their total investment in Pakistan. China purchases more than half of its oil from Middle East. 60% of China's oil comes from Gulf by ships traveling over 16,000 kilometers in 2 to 3 months. If Gwadar is used for this purpose, the distance will be reduced to 2,500 kilometers. So this is a big, China has big stake, economic stake in Gwadar. Currently, 10,000 Chinese workers are engaged in 120 projects in Pakistan. Chinese investment on heavy engineering, power generation, mining, telecommunication is enormous. But there are certain trading economic concerns also. For instance, imports from China are at wide scale, exports from Pakistan to China are limited, trade deficit is growing, which is actually a problem for Pakistan, and there's a slow pace of cooperation, and there's no reasonable economic infrastructure that could actually benefit Pakistan. Strategic relations. Strategic relations have strengthened through ongoing military-to-military cooperation is there since 1963. China has been steady source of military equipment to Pakistan Army, helping establish ordnance factories, aeronautical complex, technological assistance, modernizing various facilities that Pakistan has. As I've already said, China and Pakistan have jointly completed, developed JFC Thunder fighting aircraft, K-2 Karakoram aircraft, tanks, and various other small-scale military equipment are prepared with the joint venture. Now, when we talk of Gwadar, we see Gwadar as economic, from economic perspective, but Gwadar has certain strategic perspective also. Now, I have to offer various conclusions basing on the way I explained every all facets of Pakistan-China relations. And the first conclusion is diplomatic rhetoric of all-weather friendship is contrary to established international relation norms and practices, where states see through prism of national interest. So if national interest of Pakistan is served or national interest of China is served, they have to have walked that tightrope of making decisions. China is likely to remain an all-weather friend only if its core foreign policy objectives are served well. And that position does not meet Pakistan's expectations or ideals, particularly with regards to India. Remember, China is not Pakistan or India-centric alone. Pakistan needs China more than China needs Pakistan. And this is a fact that China has started realizing. Pakistan and China have to build their future relationship on realistic and pragmatic grounds. Pakistan-China relations are underpinned by traditional geopolitical interests, and first is India. Still, even now, Pakistan-China share hostility and confrontation with India because they have mutual suspicion of or mutual concern interest of containing India's regional influence. Second is terrorism and extremism. There are adverse effects of terrorism and extremism on Pakistan-China relations. China suspects that there is a very dangerous spillover impact of terrorism in Afghanistan or Pakistan could spoil some of their concerns. And that issue has a potential to create wedge between Pakistan and China. Pakistan's effort to further China's interest can complicate some of its own interests because there's a lot of pressure on Pakistan also from various groups, indigenous Pakistani groups, to have relations with China or the extremists that they are being trained in, or they have linkages in Afghanistan or in the tribal belt of Pakistan. So there's complication in actually deciding about this. Domestic stability of Pakistan and China, we also face domestic instability, and China also does. Economically, China's growing economic equities with China, India, though important from India and China's perspective, are a concern for Pakistan. Weak but growing Pakistan-China economic relations offer immediate benefit to Pakistan and long-term benefit to China. Understanding of Pakistan-China relation requires wide-ranging focus. For instance, I believe it has to be a broader study of regional players also, because Afghanistan, US is there in the region, India and Central Asian states, with these states, US has interests, and all of other regional players have interests. China sees a greater role of Pakistan in Afghanistan, and Pakistan expects China to have a greater role in Afghanistan in the post 2014 scenario. Pakistan can become a geographical, some people think Pakistan can become a geographical impediment of hedging China against India or US. And Pakistan has to work very carefully to take benefit of this position. Pakistan and China need to work on how to deal with core issues. Core issues are territorial disputes, either they are with India or with China, China-India or Pakistan-India, sovereignty issues of China, terrorism and extremism. There's another issue coming up is security of Chinese personnel working in Pakistan. There's virtually no people-to-people contact between Pakistan and China, and growing India and US interests. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'd like to open the floor up then for questions and either comments or questions. And please identify yourself when you answer the question. Go ahead.
Well, sir, excuse me. I'm Andre Sabazo, and I'm a chief representative in Vietnam for my company in Detroit, Michigan, an interstate travel company. But congratulations on a very pragmatic and balanced presentation. Very edifying. Now, my question is this. On homes on to pragmatism. In your opening remarks, you mentioned that the perspective that China has of trying to balance the India-U.S. relationship in terms of containing China, which of course. But then you went on commendably to say that whatever China says about not wanting to establish hegemony, their actions show that that's not true. And when I'm in a business trip in Vietnam, I see it. I mean, on one of my business trips, three warships, Chinese warships, came right in to Vietnam's extended exclusive economic zone and terrorized a civilian ship doing seismic surveys for our state petroleum company. So, my question is this. Do you understand that the United States government has no desire to contain China? We want good relations with China. And that, does your government understand that? And because all we want to do is maintain freedom of navigation in the South China Sea, which is a vital link between the Pacific and Indian Ocean. But if you and your government understand that, can you and others use your good offices to try to persuade Beijing that, you know, we're not trying to contain China? It's only their hegemonic, their use of violence to extend into, you know, other countries' sovereignty that, what's your perspective on that?
So first of all, I'm sorry to use the word containment, because I've been told a number of times not to use this word containment. It's not. It's offensive. I've been asked to use the word hedging. Yes. So I don't know whether that is offensive or not.
Yeah. Hedging's good.
Hedging is good. Actually, since I said China keeps its cards closer to chest, so I give Pakistani's perspective. I highlight Pakistan's perspective as a student of politics and international relations. Pakistan is preoccupied with so many problems internally that it does not focus on external issues. China, and actually there are three powers. India is a growing power. China is China's place, it's China's region, and US has interest there. So Pakistan, it would be beneficial for Pakistan, like in my opinion, if US, China and Pakistan nexus develops there in that region, it will be quite helpful. Like for Afghanistan and terrorism, we can Pakistan can always support. For China's concern that it has with regard to Western problems of Uyghurs, in we can help and we can carry out cooperation. And US also has interest there. So there's a US-China problem that we cannot help, because they are beyond our focus, they are beyond our scope. But as far as Pakistan, it is in the interest of Pakistan that US and China have good relations. It is in the interest of Pakistan.
Right.
And if they have, we will have some, you know, peaceful region. But there are certain problems, there are certain irritants. For instance, and that irritants are creating problems for governments to decide. For instance, we have an irritant of Kashmir issue. Now, people in Pakistan are actually play on those, you know, rhetorics. So they, the powers, China and US, maybe they have to focus on first of all regional peace or bilateral issues that the countries have, and those bilateral issues then they flare up and then they create problem for the region. But as far as it's my own opinion that if China and US have good relations, and despite the way India and China are trying to have good relations despite various territorial disputes, if those irritants are removed, so I think that will be a fine nexus. People in Pakistan look at this nexus very, you know, it's a very pleasant nexus, US, China and Pakistan, and maybe India. But there are people who will exploit this position. They say, no, you know, we have problems in Pakistan. There are people of various views. They say, no, first these issues are to be resolved, then you carry out friendships. So that's a big problem.
Thank you,
sir. Okay, thank you. Deepa Lovely, Seeger Center. I thought that was a very, very interesting and very balanced and informed kind of presentation. And if I may, I'd like to make two points. One is on the framework, because I know you're. This is part of the PhD that you're working towards. So I know you're looking for that kind of comment. When you set it up in terms of realism and liberalism, I think the liberalism is almost a bit of a straw man argument here, because I think it's very difficult to even say that there was any of that kind of content, you know, the economics, the liberal principles, the norms and so on that underlie the liberal. It would be very difficult on both sides to say that that is what is driving it. Rather, I think one interesting way of looking at it is the realism part, which is fairly muted in the sense that, you know, there is no proper alliance between Pakistan and China. So in that sense, there's not the external balancing openly, but obviously there's something there. And so one way of looking at it is, what, you know, sort of offensive realism versus defensive realism. I mean, to sort of refine the way in which you are looking at that, because it is a very muted relationship and competition with India, which is of course now changing. So I think in terms of getting the dynamics and the intricacies of this relationship, you need to perhaps refine the concept. And I'm just giving you one suggestion as to how to do that. On the substantive question, I have, you know, as you say, that things, there are a lot of uncertainties now with the post-US, after the US withdrawals in 2014, with the China and India wanting to take their relationship to the economics where they'd have 100 million by 2015 and so forth. How is Pakistan planning for that? I mean, it seems to me that Pakistan, what are its options? And so, you know, are there real serious discussions in the military, for example, about alternative ways of, you know, conceiving its strategic policy that has been pretty steady, you know, sort of so long?
With regard to Afghanistan, I guess you are.
Yeah, that's one.
I call this strategic depth. That we used to say, I call it a intellectual confusion, because there's no strategic depth provided by another country. In my university, I say it's not provided by another country. Afghanistan is a sovereign country. We need to find depth inside our country somewhere. So, and that view has, in military circles, that view has changed, that it can provide, some country can provide you strategic depth. Mm-hmm. You have to, but actually we have not only lost strategic depth Afghanistan, but we have lost influence over a vast area which was providing us kind of depth, that is Fatah,
right.
That is tribal areas, that was a, you know, kind of buffer between Afghanistan and Pakistan. And we have certain issues with Afghanistan also, like territorial disputes, they claim some and we say some. So strategic depth is no more an issue. We are now concentrating on FATA, and off late people have now started debating. There's no, and in future, like if we want a good relation with Afghanistan, we don't want it because we want to have a strategic depth. We want because it is a neighbor. We have problems because Pashtuns living in both the countries are related to each other, and we want to have a peaceful West. And we want to, we have 200,000 troops deployed on that Western Front. So it is actually causing us economically, and you know, there is a lot of problems with regard to Pashtuns, you know, living in that area. So strategic depth, we are not looking. We are looking a peaceful Afghanistan, an Afghanistan where, you know, which is friendly to Pakistan, and we are not, you know, bothered about the Western border, which may not be the policy of, you know, China also would like to have a friendly Afghanistan towards China, which actually resolves their problems also. Because China, Chinese thinking, the sugar problem will trigger one insurgency, and if one insurgency is successful, then many others. You know, it is going to be a chain effect. So we want peaceful Afghanistan and a friendly Afghanistan towards Pakistan. We don't want a strategic depth there. We just want the buffer that we have. It is peaceful and it is pro Pakistan, a friend, Pakistan friendly. This is I think.
We have like all sorts of hands. I first saw there, and then we'll go around.
First of all, thank you for the candor and objectivity in your presentation. Appreciate it. You mentioned Gwadar and how it would cut transit distance dramatically for China. And I think, for lack of a better word, there's been a lot of hype around the potential of Gwadar. And in terms of economics, there's no road links and no rail links, even though a Chinese company has proposed building a rail line to the Punjab Pass on the border. So the question is, does it have economic significance now? And if not, when will it have economic significance, if any time in the future? And second, in terms of strategic, Chinese are now operating the port, but will there be basing rights for Chinese naval vessels? Will it be a logistical hub for the Chinese Navy? What is the Pakistani perspective on that and your predictions about it for the future?
Okay. First of all, I also hear, when I came here, I heard Chinese are operating Gwadar. It is not like that. Chinese are not operating Gwadar, because operation there means they are all in all. They have just, to my perception, they have economic investment around $230 million. They have certain some kind of, you know, role there, but it Pakistan Navy is actually controlling everything there. All operations Pakistan Navy is controlling. Pakistan is controlling. China is just you can say just partner. In Gwadar, it's not that, you know. Sometimes people ask me, oh, Gwadar is with China, so I'm surprised. It's not with China, it's with us. We are there, but China has interest. There are two. One is road link. We have a road link from Gwadar to Hunza and Gilgit. There is a proposal. It is going on. Discussions are going on. There is a proposal of having a rail track from Kashgar to Gwadar. Rail track will link Kashgar to Haveliyan, which is a northern town in Pakistan. So, but that is a big project, and that has to come through, 1,300 miles of area. So it's still. But if this goes on, and because it's in China's interest, there are going to be two routes. One is rail, and one is road. Road is there. If they wish to do it, they can do it. But there are some problems, because the most of that route goes through Balochistan province, which is a troubled province in our country. So there is a likelihood that we'll have problem of opening that route before being used for Chinese interest, Chinese economic. You know, we are doing some, but it's not all that easy to do that. We are actually tackling that problem also. But it is going to economically very viable for China, and of course viable for Pakistan. Strategically, when I mentioned strategically, you know, Gwadar is very important located. I was actually trying to go explore, because there is a 70 kilometers distance. There is another port which Iran has. Iran has Chabahar. You must have heard about it. So there's no conflicting, you know, options, China, India, Pakistan, China, you know. But I think Gwadar still will have relevance for China, because it's Gwadar will be better for China to use as a, maybe first as economic port, and then maybe subsequently, because China wants to have influence in Indian Ocean, and from that point of view.
It was a very interesting presentation. I have a question regarding public opinions. I was curious, what do, I guess, average Pakistani think of Chinese? And what do, like, average Chinese think of Pakistani?
I am trying to ask this from Chinese. How do you think about Pakistan? But Pakistanis think good of China. Mm. Pakistanis are, you know, actually there's a hype. There's a hype. Like, I, when I tell them, no, China, this, you know, there's a very common phrase, Pakistan China relation is higher than mountain, deeper than sea, sweeter than honey. And so I said, no, this is wrong. This can't happen. It's not possible. See, so I'm not liked by people in Pakistan because I say this. It's a violation of international relation norm. If that happens, because you have to actually look after each other's interest. Pakistani public and Pakistani public opinion say, pin actually hope to, you know, we need some economic bailout. So we want China to do that. And how, you know, there's difficulty in doing that. It's not very easy that, you know, if China is rich country, we also become rich country. It's not going to happen like that. We have to, as I mentioned in my presentation, we have to actually make a credible infrastructure, a credible system that we can take benefit of, economic benefit from China. But Pakistani public feels good about China. And I go to China after this to learn how Chinese think about Pakistan.
I'm forgetting to remind everybody to identify yourselves to
Jay Taylor. Sir. You said that Pakistan wants to see stable and friendly relations with Afghanistan and stability in Afghanistan. And the biggest question about whether that is going to happen, whether stability is going to continue or improve after the United States leaves, is to what extent Pakistan will tolerate or support a new resurgence by the Taliban in Afghanistan. And that is, so the question is, has the Pakistan army changed its position from at the time of the Soviet withdrawal, when they seem to, I think everyone, do you agree or not, that they did play an important, if not the key role, critical role in the Taliban taking over power in Afghanistan. Has that, the army changed that position? And to what extent have the Chinese talked with the Pakistan, their counterparts in Pakistan, about how important it is to China that the Taliban not return to Afghanistan? The major danger in the future, I think, is the Taliban coming back in terms of the weaker threat to China. Has there been really, you think, frank talk, the Chinese saying, you know, we have a bigger interest than the Americans did in seeing the Taliban not return, and we hope Pakistan is going to cooperate?
I actually talked about this issue when I gave a presentation on Pakistan, how Pakistan looks at things. But actually, nobody is sure. It's a question whether Taliban are going to come back or not at the moment. But most likely, because they are not defeated. Their ideology has not been defeated. So there's a possibility that they might come. But Pakistan army is fighting against Taliban. Pakistan army at the moment. I actually gave figures here that we are suffering because of this terrorism. We are suffering because of these extremist and terrorist groups. We are trying to fight against them, but we can fight only the capacity we have to fight against them. Like, if America is a superpower in 2014, is leaving, I don't know, with success or what. So we are a poor country spending a lot of money and trying to, you know, contain them, trying to defeat them. It is a question whether they come up again or not, and what then Afghanistan government has capability to, you know, to suppress them or to deal with them. It's still a question. But as far as Pakistan Army is concerned, Pakistan Army is actually we have been put into some kind of internal problems that we are now focused internal. But if Afghanistan is peaceful and if there is a viable government, friendly government, we will have respite to deal problems that internally we face. I just gave a figure. We are 180 million people in Pakistan. Taliban's are 20,000 people only. So we don't, 180 million don't like 20,000 to impose their ideologies on us. Nobody likes that. And if you go to come to Pakistan, I'll take you to places and to meet people where we don't like their ideology. We don't like their the way. So Pakistan Army is at the very hard task of dealing with terrorism, extremism problem. But if we have a good relation with Afghanistan, for which India and US can help us, there's going to be I personally see there's going to be friction between Afghanistan and Pakistan after 2014, because I know where there are various groups in Pakistan, terrorist groups who take refuge in Afghanistan. There are various groups who are given money from Afghanistan. So that kind of I mentioned the last time, there's some kind of double game going on. We all will have to sit and decide fairly that what we are going to do, and we have to address each country's concern also. Like, I'll help you because you have to help me somewhat. So Pakistan Army stance is not with Taliban. It's not with the terrorist groups. It is fighting against terrorism. 5,000 army people have been killed in this operation against terrorism in our own country, in our own area. 5,000, 80,000 people have been killed since 2011. I gave the figure also. So we are trying to fight against them, but we want that there should be some respite on our western border so that we can deal with these people scarcely and sort of the problem. But question, peace in Afghanistan is questionable.
So two people on this side, but I don't know who's first. You're going to have to fight it. Both of you get.
I'm Samir Lawani. I'm from upstairs at the Institute for Security and Conflict Studies. And sir, thank you again for the presentation. I really enjoyed it. My question is in regard to a comment you made about how China recognizes that Pakistan needs China more than the reverse. I'm wondering, has that recognition been taken place, do you think, in Islamabad? And then what lessons has Pakistan derived from various crises in the past and in terms of how the Chinese reacted? So how does Pakistan evaluate China's support for Pakistan in the 99 crisis with India, in the Twin Peaks crisis, in 2008, and maybe even in 2011? And is it sufficient?
Actually, I just made a brief mention of Chinese support, because we actually expect China to help us to take a firm stand on Kashmir issue, our territorial disputes with India. We want China to help us scarcely for economic issues that we have. Now there are limitations with China also. For instance, now there are three incidences that occurred. One is 1990 insurgency took place in Kashmir and Pakistan supported that insurgency politically. 1999 confrontation with India on Kargil and China became neutral. 2001 terrorist attack in India and Pakistan-China friction and hostility and all that, China became quiet. So this is what we actually look to China for, being with Pakistan. But China has certain limitations economically. When there's no infrastructure, economic infrastructure to help you, they are trying to help like in energy, in trade, in infrastructure, but there is a limit to that kind of help. So when I say we need China because we need support of political economic support of China, and it is our need. It's Pakistan. China doesn't need Pakistan anywhere because it's a strong country. It's a rising superpower. It has regional influence. Indian, you know, it is bigger country, bigger economy than India, so it is rising. So Pakistan is a small country, but it's a, though it's friendly country, but it's a small country. So when I say we need China more than China needs us, so I talk from that context, because China does not need our support from that point.
Sir John Rice, thank you very much for your presentation. I have actually two questions. First one is, what is Pakistan's perspective on Chinese growing maritime capabilities throughout the region? And then the second one is, what is your perspectives on the nuclear talks with Iran? I know it's kind of diverging from China, but just since it's a hot topic right now, I'm
curious. Sorry, I didn't understand your second question.
Second question is, what's Pakistan's perspective on nuclear talks with Iran?
Nuclear talks between Pakistan, U.S. and Iran?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Pakistan is, I think Pakistan should be happy about it if there's some kind of, because you know, we have certain economic interests with Iran, and we are not comfortable working with Iran because of U.S. pressure. You know, there's a pipeline issue and all various other issues that we don't, you know, openly go to Iran because we had U.S. pressure. So now we are not pressured. Now we are happy. We will be able to, you know, have good relations with Iran. Though we have another pressure on us from Saudi Arabia not to have good relations with Iran. But we can, you know, deal with that pressure. This is more important pressure for us. About maritime capability of China, though it's outside my you know, study, but I think China has various options for maritime capability of you know, improving it. When I say China is multilaterally actually trying to deal with countries, so it's having good relations with Sri Lanka also, and it's developing their three ports in Sri Lanka are being built by Chinese. So I think China has options. It's not only Pakistan centric when it, you know, develops such kind of capability. It is expanding, and it is having multilateral policy, having good relations with all countries. So when we actually become comfortable when we say, okay, since China is going multilateral, so there's no problem if it improves relations with India also. So it's part of the policy that it is carrying out, multilateral relations with all countries in the region.
Thank you for your presentation, Dr. Deep, from first year MA Asia Studies. I just wanted to ask you, you mentioned that you know, it's a challenge for Pakistan to remain relevant in the region, since you know, China and India are improving ties, and India and Afghanistan have good ties, and US and India have an nexus, like you said. So how does Pakistan remain relevant in the region?
This is what I'm trying to explore. How should Pakistan remain relevant? Because in Pakistan, people are upset when China gets closer to India, because we think we have a kind of insecurity, vulnerability, that if because we then, that's why we say we support China. Pakistan supports China on Tibet, on Taiwan, on whatever stance they have, territorial, you know, sovereignty related stances they have, or territorial disputes they have. We say whatever China says is right. So we expect China to do the same. China should also say whatever Pakistan says is right. So that kind of, you know, but we have to be, you know, we will have to work hard, we'll have to be a viable state, we have to be, you know, have good and strong relations with China to have that kind of China who supports us on all our stances, maybe. So I think nobody thinks in those terms, like as a student, I think if we can find solution to problems, mm-hmm. That's and you know, a stronger country can, you know, help reach somewhere. As a military person, I don't want Kashmir should be given to us the way we want. I don't want. I have fought the Kargil war. I have been in Kashmir for a long time. I'm a soldier. I'm an infantry soldier, by the way. I'm not a, you know, I'm an infantry, hardcore infantry soldier. But I don't want, I know the issue when it is lingered for 50, 60 years, it cannot be resolved according to the wishes of one, you know, country. It will have to be resolved, you know, keeping various factors. So, but we are ready to do that. Somebody should help us do that. We are ready, and I think the hardliners also, they in the army, they think, okay, we should find some solution, because we also want our people to be prosperous. We should cut down on budgets. We want, you know, things, nice things to be in our country. So, but somebody will have to help. It's not bilateral. When China says, resolve this issue bilaterally, I don't think so it's possible. No issue can be, sorry, I'm making this statement, and any issue between India and Pakistan cannot be resolved bilaterally unless there's some pressure on us or India, both ways.
Other questions?
Well, we actually have reached the end of our time. I was going to let it run a little bit if we need to, but I think this is a very, very informative, comprehensive overview, and I want to thank you very much for it.
Thank you.
I'm sure people have more questions.
I have,
to talk to you on.
I take this opportunity to. I'm here. I'm not going. But
yeah,
I just
yeah, you can talk to him more.
This is what I want to present to you.
Thank you.
This is
take a photo.
It will remind you of.
We need a photo. Where
Bang! Where is my camera?
Camera.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
We're gonna be standing here.
Yeah. Take a photo.
Yeah, okay. We also stage another one later if we want to.
Yeah.
1 second. Thank you very much. So please, if people have more questions, I'm sure you'll be happy to answer more, right?
I'm here until February 13th. Yeah. I'm here. I'm just going to New York and Georgia for the trip.
Because I'm going to Vietnam for 1 week, but I'll be back.
February.
Yeah. I'll be in Vietnam soon after that, of course.
That's
my work.
Right.
But I really like your presentation. And I'm also